here. Would you stand with me as we read just a few verses? We'll pray after we do that, and then we'll be seated and have the message. Ephesians chapter 6, find verse 32. Chapter 5 and verse 32. I'm getting ahead of myself. Then we'll get to chapter 6. Ephesians 5:32, the Bible says this, and this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It says here, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, and then it talks about the family. Tonight, the message title is The Mystery of Marriage and Family. The mystery of marriage and family. Let's pray and ask God to help us, okay? Father, we need your help, and I ask that you give full blessing tonight in this time of service, and Lord, help us to respond to you obediently and tenderly as you would work in our hearts and give us the help that we need. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I love mysteries. I really do. When I'm trying to figure out who did it or who accomplished the thing or maybe who committed the crime or the murder. And I'm the type of person, if we're watching a movie or, you know, something like that, I'm the type of person that guesses out loud, you know, for the benefit of others around me. They always enjoy that. I think it was the butler, you know, or I think it was this person that did it or committed the crime. And then when you get to the end of the mystery, the mask is taken off and it's revealed who is responsible the entire time behind the scenes. And typically I was wrong. If we were tonight to take the mask off a marriage that's healthy and doing well far after the honeymoon, if we were to take the mask off a family where the teenagers have a good spirit and a good attitude, they love God, and the children obey even immediately, not a mask of pretense or hypocrisy, but just to find out who's responsible. Anytime you see a marriage doing well or a family doing well, and you take that off, you're going to recognize this, that behind the scenes every time is the person of Jesus Christ himself. The mystery tonight is truly for a godly and a joyful and a healthy marriage and a good, godly, healthy family is the person of Jesus Christ living through us. And it gives us three roles that we're supposed to fill in the family. But without Jesus helping us, without Christ in our life, empowering us, we can't fulfill these roles. So before we can ever get to the roles and say, dear God, would you help me to have Jesus Christ helping me and my family, we need to have Jesus as our Savior. We need to, what the Bible says, be saved. Well, that means to be rescued from our sins. If you take your Bibles and turn just a couple pages to the left, Ephesians 2. Look at Ephesians 2. Find verse 8 and verses 9. Verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, the Bible says this. For by grace are ye saved. Notice the word saved there. It means to be saved from our sin and the penalty of it. Through faith. Do you see that? It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Notice what else it says in verse 9. It says, not of, if you have the same Bible, if you're using a Pew Bible, perhaps you could see that out loud. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, what's the third word in? It says, not of what? Works, lest any man should boast. Works are any good deed I would do that I think would earn me merit with God and then entrance into heaven. So maybe I could go to church. Coming to here tonight is a good thing. But coming here tonight in a church service will not get you to heaven. Perhaps we think, well, how about if we get baptized by being immersed or sprinkled as a child? With that baptism, that's a good thing, isn't it? Wouldn't that be helpful and wouldn't that in favor with God and get me into heaven? Well, the Bible never says baptism actually gets you eternal life. It follows the decision to trust Jesus as your Savior. So all of the things that we would do that think I could get me to heaven or I could earn my way to heaven, really the Bible calls those works or deeds. These works or deeds would be nothing of value when it comes to saving us. The Bible explains here, for by grace are you saved. That means God's strength, his unmerited favor to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves through faith. So our faith or dependency is what trusts God. Because of our sin, we're not allowed in heaven. There's none righteous, no, not one. Because of that, the wage or penalty of our sin is death. Death and its separation from God. But God loved us so much, he sent Jesus, his son, to die for us and to die in our place. When Jesus died on the cross, he did not die for any of his crimes, but he died for ours. He did not die for any of his sins, but he died for ours. In our place as a substitute, he was buried and he rose again. Now, for me and for you, in order to go to heaven, we simply receive God's gift by faith. It is a gift. It's already paid for, and he's offering, and simply we receive it by faith. And that's how we have Jesus as our Savior. But the word saved, it always makes me think of being saved from drowning. I was trained as a lifeguard when I was many, many moons ago. I remember two main things being trained as a lifeguard. Number one, don't let the drowning person die. That's a pretty good rule. I paid attention really well. This is Lifeguard 101. And then number two was, don't let the drowning person drown you. I liked that one, and I really paid attention to that one. Because there's an improper way to actually help someone or save someone, and if that person tries to help, he's actually going to mess it all up. So I asked a young person here to come help me out. Mateo, could you come on up? And I thought he was really qualified to drown tonight. And Mateo, have you ever drowned before? No, okay, good. All right, well, come on up. And I'll just put you right up here for right now. Actually, let's go over here because we can't see you just except for the curly hair above the pulpit. And so here's Mateo. Thank you for helping me out. He's a drowning victim. I'm going to be the lifeguard. And I can tell we already have an actor on our hand. So if you just face towards me, here's a drowning victim, and he is, of course, out of energy or whatever, incapable of swimming, and so he's going to ask for help, but he's in a frantic situation. Frantic? There we go, frantic. Okay. And if you were drowning, what do you think you'd say?
Help.
There we go. Probably less monotone, but he would say help. Okay, at that point, as a lifeguard, I'd jump in, I'd swim towards him, but in his continued frantic situation or condition, he would probably grab onto me. Okay, as he would grab onto me, then he would push me down in order to keep him up. This is a good short-term plan. That's not good to do to your lifeguard, but I have to have some oxygen, so I come up and I push him down. And I get to breathe for a little bit, then he does, and then he goes down, and then we both die, okay? And so that's not good. So in order to avoid this, what we would do is we'd have different techniques. This is before they had those red floaty things and all this. But we would do different things. We'd actually swim around him. So imagine if there's enough room, and here he is, he's drowning. He calls out,
help.
Help. I swim around him where he can't reach me, and then I go across shoulders, do a cross chest carry, scissor kick, and I pull him, and I get him to the side of the kiddie pool, and and save him. Okay, come back over here. Okay, but sometimes in doing that, they have enough wherewithal to kind of move or pivot still with the lifeguard, if they have enough energy. And so another technique, just face me if you would. No, I didn't say come closer, back up. Okay, and so another technique would be to be able to actually swim underneath them. So this isn't in a kiddie pool. And so he cries out, help.
Oh, help.
I swim towards him, and before he can reach out to me, I dive underneath him. I swim underneath him, and he doesn't know where I'm at. I come up behind him. And then I do a cross chest carry, scissor kick, I take him to the side, and I say, no, don't thrash, don't kick, I've got it, I'll take care of you. Okay, now watch. If the drowning victim has any part of the saving process, he'll mess it all up. The lifeguard has to do all the work. If he thrashes, if he does that, if he grabs a lifeguard, he's probably going to kill both of them, and many people have actually died doing that. If you're trying to have any part of the saving process, folks, you're going to mess it all up. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus alone and not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We need to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior and have Him to help us. Thank you very much, Mateo. I really appreciate it. Let's give him a hand. All right, thank you. Thank you very much. So we see from our drowning victim that if we have any part, we mess it up. So we need God's help. So we ask Him and we trust Jesus Christ. Now we have Him as our Savior. If you have Jesus as your Savior and you're thankful for that, can you just say amen?
Amen.
Now that's a great thing and a relief to say. If you don't, before this service is over, you can make the decision. It's not being a part of the church. It's not being baptized. It's not being a better person. It is one decision of believing on Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? The man asked. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's simply the decision. Once you are saved, now inside of you, you have the Holy Spirit who can help you and live out the life of Jesus Christ to help you and the roles in your family. As we look at the roles of the family, let's apply three things to us and then our time's done. Look, if you would, at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Look at verse 33. It says this, Ephesians 5, 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents. Okay, stop right there. So it says here, it says, let every one of you in particular love his wife. So husbands are to love, wives are to reverence, children are to obey. But there's some other aspect of this role that we need to apply and help. Because this is why we're not experiencing the healthiness that God wants us to experience in our marriage and our family. And tonight, it can be different for you. First of all, it's a matter of it has to be Jesus Christ in you. But secondly, it's unconditional. Will you see tonight as a man, as a husband, when he says, let every one of you in particular so love him, his wife, even as himself. The Bible here is not talking about a conditional love, but an unconditional. So the first application, number one, of Christ being in me and helping me is unconditional love. This is that agape love that is selfless, that is sacrificial, and supreme. There's no other love that's higher. There's no other love that is better. In fact, God says, I am love. God is love. And He's the one that helps you do that. You cannot do it on your own. But you are called to love, but not only just love, but love unconditionally. You know, my love can be conditional. I can like certain people that do something nice to me. Give me a gift first. I would be inclined to like that person, to love that person, to give a gift back. Someone that is at least nice. But have you ever met somebody rude? Have you ever been to Chicago? Have you ever met anybody rude or just somebody that just go out of the way to make your life miserable? Okay, you say, man, I don't love that guy. There's no way I'm going to love that lady, that woman. But God does. Isn't that incredible? Unconditionally. And you think of the worst person, committed crimes, just bottom of the bucket. For that person, Jesus Christ died. It's incredible to think of God's unconditional love, and we can experience that in our lives. Husbands, would you tonight say, God, would you help me to have Christ's help, to have unconditional love, to love my wife, even if she does not reverence me, even if she does not submit, even if I don't see it reciprocated, I'm going to have unconditional love, and that, folks, is supernatural, and only Jesus Christ can help you to do that. Would you see tonight, dear God, I need to not blow up or to have these other things, but I'm going to love my wife. And the Bible tells the husbands in another passage, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That's challenging. That's difficult. It's impossible on our own, but with Christ's help, you can love unconditionally. Second application is unconditional reverence. Now, if I were to give a quiz at the beginning of the session or the service here, and I say, hey, what do you think is the greatest need of the wife? Not clearance shopping, folks, okay? That's not it. You would say it would be love. It would be love. Okay, then I'd say, okay, what's the greatest need of the husband? You know what a lot of ladies say, wives say? They say love. That's not it. The word respect here, the word reverence here, can mean the idea of respect. It's a heavier word than that. In fact, the same word in Ephesians 5:33, where it says, and the wife see that she reverence her husband, is the same word found earlier in the passage in verse 21. In Ephesians 5:21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's not the word submitting. The same Greek word translated reverence later is the Greek word fear. The idea isn't a horror or something that would keep me away, but the idea is such a healthy respect for the husband. Now, we don't hear that in today's time at all. It's unpopular, but I'd rather be biblical and unpopular than unbiblical and somewhat popular. We need to have help for our families and our marriages. And if we don't do what the Bible says, we're not going to have that help, folks. We need to see, okay, there needs to be unconditional love from the husband to the wife, but then there needs to be unconditional reverence. Would you allow me to use the word respect? Unconditional respect. It comes out through submission. It comes out to yielding, allowing him to have the leadership. There is only one that is the head or the leader. Will you tonight, as a lady, say, God, would you help me to depend upon the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, to have Jesus Christ help me be submissive. Now, what if your husband, let's say we're talking about finances. We have arguments about finances, and we have arguments about in-laws, and then there's education, and there are in-laws, and then there's house, and then there's in-laws. But let's just stick with finances tonight, okay? So let's say talk about finances. What if the husband and wife say, hey, let's try to figure out what we're going to do for retirement. Okay, all right. So the wife does her incredible diligent study, and she checks on index funds and zero fee type things. She talks about systematic things. She talks about all kinds of mutual funds. She talks about anything and everything that's even the latest non-depreciating investments. And she goes through all of these things. She has pie charts. She has graphics. She has a PowerPoint presentation ready to go. The guy forgets. He can't sleep one night. He gets up at 2:30 in the morning. The only thing on at 2:30 is infomercials. So he watches an infomercial. He sees on the infomercial, there's an ad to invest in snails. Did you say nails? No, snails. There's an ad to invest in snails. He says, this is great. We're going to invest in snails. So they have the meeting the next day. And he says, honey, I've got the answer for our financial situation. What is it? No, you go first. So she goes through. She has her pie charts. She has all of her everything mapped out. And it's incredible. It's great. She has it month by month and how it's going to work and what they'll have at the end. And it's just super. And then he says, you over? You finished? He said, yeah, I'm finished. Okay, here it is. I got it. We're going to invest in snails. She says, you got to be kidding. What in the world are you thinking? Oh, it's great, and we're going to get in on the ground level, yeah, with the snails. And hey, honey, listen, nobody else is doing it. There's a reason nobody else is doing it. And she's going, this is crazy. Okay, now what should she do at this point? This is a crazy idea. No one invests in snails. Should she just say, that's it, just give me this. I'm going to make the decision here that nobody, go do something, I'm going to make the decision right now. Okay, she could do that, but when she does, she's stepping out of the bounds that God's provided and directed for her. Now, if he has any sense at all, he's going to listen to his wife, and they're going to communicate. But if the ultimate decision you didn't agree with, and I'm being silly with snails, but if there's an ultimate decision, I'm not talking about immoral, illegal, but there's an ultimate decision that you did not agree with. Would you be willing to respect your husband enough to allow him to make the decision and take the lead? You know what that takes? You say, well, once he starts loving me like he ought to, then I'll give him the respect. That's conditional. That's what you can do. That's human level. What you need tonight is God's help to have Jesus Christ level supernatural and have unconditional respect, unconditional submission, unconditional reverence, because only Jesus Christ can help you with that. Would you say, if I have Jesus that has saved me and he can help me now in my family, I need unconditional love. I need to have unconditional respect. And the final application for our role tonight is unconditional obedience. I like every young person here. Every young person, would you look this way? Teenager, seniors, maybe, I don't know, you're 19, 20, that's okay. You could. Would you look here as well? Young people, junior high, wherever. Okay, would you look here? Even back, you're on the way to the back, I can see you, even though you act like I can't, okay? So if you look here, would you help me out in Ephesians 6:1? Okay, look at Ephesians 6:1. It says this, what is the, out loud, just the young people, let's say, can I say 19 on down, okay? Can I just do 19 on down? Can you say the first word out loud on the count of three? Ready? One, two, three. Children. they're a little afraid to do it. They say, wait a minute, what if, are you going to make us do something? No, I'm not going to make you do anything. But you know what? Look here, teenagers and college age. You know what? When we look at the word children, what we think of is some little bitty kid. Like, oh, we already dismissed the kiddies. The word children here doesn't mean little kid. It means offspring. So if you've been sprung or hatched or whatever took place with you, then it means you. Where in the Bible does it say that I'm supposed to obey until 18, then I don't have to obey anymore? Does the Bible say that? No. Does it say 19? 21? It doesn't. The only indication the Bible gives for children to not obey is when they create their own institution of marriage. It says this in Ephesians 5:31. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh at that point. So if you're here and you're a senior in high school, an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old, whatever, you know what the Bible says? It says offspring, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So let me ask, do you obey, can I use the word that we've been using all night long, unconditionally? Let me ask this. This is great for teenagers. They want to obey if they understand the rule. At least if they understand it, it makes sense to them and it fits their agenda. Why? Why can't I do this? Would you be willing to say, I'll obey my parents unconditionally, even if I don't understand why I have the rule? They say, you young man will not leave the house dressed that way. What's wrong with the way I've dressed? It's a black t-shirt that says, kill everyone. No, you're going to go back there. Young lady, you're not leaving the house dressed like that. You march back up those stairs and you change. Well, you don't understand. Or they, you know, here's a, you know, you want to go someplace and they're not letting you go someplace. But here's a real good illustration. How about it, young person, when you need some money? Okay, how about you have a youth activity? And at the youth, are you listening? On the youth activity, you need money to be able to go. And, you know, it's something simple. And so you go to mom and dad and you say, hey, dad, you're looking good. I'm like, what do you want? Mom, have you lost weight? and you butter him up really well, and then you say, hey, I'm going on this youth activity. It's gonna be chaperoned. It's gonna be good. But I just need some money. Well, that doesn't sound like it's a big deal. How much do you need? $100. They start laughing. You're like, oh, this is good. They're laughing. Laughter is good. And yeah, I need $100, and they're laughing. Can I have it? No, you can't have $100. Oh, come on. Why can't I have $100? I just want to go with my friends. No, you can't have the money. And then they get a little bit higher. You know, they were singing tonight, but now they're singing soprano, and this is a guy. And he goes, why can't I have the money? Why can't I do this? And they're singing it higher. And then all of a sudden, where they're vocalizing their great singing ability, there's this thing in their throat that's been developing, but now it's fully developed in their teenage years. And it stops them from speaking. It's not a word. It's just a sound. They say, why can't I have the, There it is. Did you hear it? I want a, And everybody else says, And you go, what in the world is this? Yeah, honey, come in. What is this? They go, Is it rap music? No, I don't think that. I know what it is. Remember, we went to SeaWorld? That's what it is. That's it. Okay? Look, if you as a young person, and I'll play in the back, if you as a young person ask for something and you can't get your way, and you ask why, you really don't want to know the reason. You just want to get what you want or do what you want. So what you need to say is, dear God, would you help me to obey unconditionally? So tonight, would you recognize this? If you're not obeying the first time, you're not obeying. If you're not obeying when you don't understand and you constantly challenge and you question, then you're not obeying your parents. And if you're not obeying privately when they're not watching, then young man and young lady, you are not obeying. And I tell you this, you're not right with God. There's no way you can be right with God and disobedient to your parents at the same time. You know what's going to help our families? Is having Jesus Christ as our Savior, but then His help to have unconditional love, unconditional reverence, and unconditional obedience. You know the key to all of that is in a small phrase in verse 1, and you've seen it for years, but you missed it. Can I have all the ladies, all the young ladies here, all the young people? Would you look in Ephesians 6:1? Would you look at Ephesians 6:1? The Bible says this, children, obey your parents. Here it is. In the Lord. In the Lord. Let me give, I'll use this as an illustration. Imagine we go with the young people and we go out on a boat and we're in one of the Great Lakes and it's deep. We're out there a ways. And one of the young people said, hey, Mr. Chris, can I go out and I be able to jump in the water and swim? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm a good swimmer. And I said, oh, well, okay. So they don't have a life jacket on. This is kind of risky. But they jump in the water, and they start swimming around. And they're doing great. They swim like a fish. You know, they're swimming around, and they're doing fantastic. Well, they swim around the boat a little bit. And I said, hey, you know what? You've been out there a little bit. Why don't you come and grab my hand and get in the boat? No. Oh, Brother Chris, I've got it. No, I'm okay. And they just keep swimming around. Well, as they keep going, they're fatigued. And let's say a wave comes and they just go under just for a second or two. And it startles them a little bit. And you see, I see that. I say, hey, look, I see you're getting tired. Grab my hand. Why don't you get back in the boat? And they're like, no, I got this. I can do it. And they keep swimming. And now they get very fatigued. And another wave comes, but this time they go under for several seconds, and they come up scared. And they reach now for help to be saved. I grab them, I pull them out of the water, and they then now are sitting in the boat. And the young person is doing this. And I go, what are you doing? What in the world are you doing? Well, I don't want to drown, Brother Chris. I don't want to drown. And they just keep moving their hands and they're kicking their feet. I go, look, it's okay, it's okay. No, it's not okay. I don't want to drown. I don't want to drown. And I go, look, you don't have to do that anymore. You're not in the water anymore. You're in the boat. And now you can stay afloat without any effort of your own. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know why you haven't been obedient? Is because you're down here trying to do it on your own. And you're failing miserably. You know why you haven't had unconditional reverence? It's because you're down here going, well, when he shows me respect and we're failing, we need to get in the boat. And the reason why we're not loving like we ought to is because we use all these excuses, but we're not experiencing unconditional love because we're trying on our own. We need to say, dear Jesus Christ, help me. And I'm going to obey, I'm going to trust, I'm going to love and reverence in the Lord. It's time to get your family in the boat. Now look, there are young people here that they've been saved. That is, they've made the decision to trust Jesus as Savior. And according to the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. They're going to heaven when they die, period. And you say, that's wonderful. But what about you? There's dads and moms, grandparents and aunts and uncles. Wouldn't it be good to have the whole family get in the boat? It's high time to start listening and thinking, seeing what does the Bible really say. You know, tonight, you can make the decision to trust Jesus as your Savior right now, and I encourage you to do so. In just a moment, right where we're seated, I'm going to ask a couple of questions in conclusion. And as we do, I'm going to ask you, would you just respond by an upraised hand and ask the Lord to help you in these decisions? With our heads bowed or with our eyes closed, let's ask these questions. I'm going to ask Pastor to come and help me. And it's only myself and Pastor who could pray for you that would be looking, and no one else will be looking. With their heads bowed and with their eyes closed, let me ask this. If you're here and you say, preacher, I know one thing for sure. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I'm on my way to heaven. I know that. If you know Jesus, you've trusted him as your Savior, and you know for sure about it, could you raise your hand even right now? That's wonderful. That's great. That really is good. There's a number of people you can place your hands down. Now, not everybody could raise their hand, and I understand that, and I appreciate the honesty. Would you tonight ask for help and allow me to pray for you? If you're here and you say, preacher, I don't want to be embarrassed, but I do want help, and I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I've not trusted Jesus, or I don't know if I'm saved, what you talked about from the Bible tonight. Would you please pray for me? I see I need help in my family, and the only way I can have help in my family, the only way I can have eternal life, is having Jesus as my Savior. If you're here and you'd like for me to pray for you right now as a man, as a lady, as a young person, you say, I've not trusted Jesus, or I'm not for sure I'm going to heaven. Can you raise your hand right now? Anyone like this, say, would you pray for me? God bless you. Good. God, that's wonderful. And God bless you. Good. Anyone else? And God bless you. Anyone else? I'm asking this. If you haven't trusted Jesus, or you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, but you'd like for me to pray for you, I'll certainly pray for these three hands that I saw that were raised. Anyone else? You say, would you pray for me as well? I need to know Jesus as my Savior. Anyone else? Anyone else? Would you pray for me? I would like to have you raise your hand. And this is a large crowd, so I'd like for you to just raise it high enough where I could see it. Anyone else? Anyone else? That really is fantastic. That's great. And I'll pray for these that have raised their hand. If you're here and you say, Brother Miller, I know I'm saved, but I see tonight that God's spoken in my heart about unconditional love, unconditional reverence, our unconditional obedience. We really do need Jesus' help in our family. And I want to acknowledge that for myself in my role. If God's spoken to you and you want to trust him in one of these areas for fulfilling your role unconditionally, would you raise your hand just right now? Would you, all across the room, all across the room, would you raise your hand? That's great. That's wonderful. You can place your hands down. Specifically men, specifically ladies, specifically young people. Let me ask the question one more time. It's the same question. If you already raised your hand, you don't have to raise it again. But let me ask, as a man, as a lady, or as a young person, you say, I do want to trust Jesus to fulfill his role in the family, God's spoken to me. I want to trust him in that area. Can you raise your hand? Anyone else? God bless you, and God bless you, and you, and you. Good. Wonderful. I'm glad I asked the second time. God bless you. That's great. That's wonderful. Would you look this way? Everyone look right here. Would you do this in just a moment? Would you pray about the decision that God's placed on your heart? And I'd like to do this. I'd like to ask you not to come forward or to the front to pray, but to pray where you are and do it a little differently. If you're willing to say, "Dear God, I need your help for my family," in just a moment, there are several of us who raise their hands. In just a moment, why don't you, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, in a moment, just stand to your feet and have a word of prayer right where you are. What I will do is I will have a dedication prayer for you. I'll pray for you and your family, your household, not by name. God knows you, I don't. But I'll pray for you in a dedication prayer for your house to the Lord. After I pray, would you just stand and just pray quietly, not out loud, but just silently. And you could be as short as you like, or you could be as long as you like. And when you're seated, I'll know that you're finished with the prayer. So in just a second, I'd like for those in whose heart God's worked, would you, in a moment, let me have a dedication prayer for you, for your family, for yourself. And then, would you, after you stand and allow me pray for you, just pray briefly where you're standing, and then you could be seated. And tonight, maybe it's just you're the only person from your family. Maybe your entire family could stand, and that'd be wonderful. I'd be privileged to pray for you. With their heads bowed, with their eyes closed, if God's spoken to you, if you're making a decision about that, would you stand to your feet right now and let me pray for you? God bless you. Good. God bless you. Good. Just stand to your feet, and I'll have a dedication prayer once everyone is standing. Good. God bless you. Parents are standing. Fathers are standing. Husbands. Moms, ladies, young people are standing. God bless you. Good. Others are still standing. Others, would you allow me to have a dedication prayer for you? God bless you. That's good. And I know it's a big step. I know it is. Would you allow me to pray for you? Anyone else? Young people? Say, that's me. God bless you. There's another dad and another one. Good. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's pray. Dear God, I ask that you'd help right now with each of these in whose heart you worked. Help these families, help these men, help these moms and these ladies to follow you and to trust you, to have unconditional love, unconditional reverence, and unconditional obedience in their families. Lord, do your work in their hearts and their lives. And Lord, I pray as well for those here that have not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, that they would be saved and trust Christ as well. With our heads bowed, I'm just going to ask the pianist to play through a verse or two. Would you pray quietly? When you're finished praying, you can be seated.